Well, good afternoon, PBC family. Hope you are doing well. Our devotional for this week has to deal with Christian lament. You know, it doesn't take much to just glance at the news to see all the pain, suffering, uncertainty, and worry that we face in this world. You know, just when we think 2020 couldn't get any worse, something happens the following week. It seems like it's just happening over and over for 2020. And there are sometimes we feel like we need to respond and we have all the answers. But there are also times when we realize we don't have all the answers. There's no quick solutions and we're left with asking why. How as Christians are we to respond in this situation? When we see injustice, when we see pain, when we see persecution, suffering, sickness, or when bad things happen to us, how do we respond? We can respond various ways. We can respond in anger. We can respond in hostility. We can go on Facebook and let the world know how we feel. We might think we just need to suck it up, that we can just turn a blind eye, just focus on what is good. When we face uncertainty, when we face pain, trials, hardships, it might be tempted to just put on a happy face and pretend nothing's happening. Or we might blur everything out by indulging in Netflix or YouTube. When we look at Scripture, though, we see God's people responded to the same things, but in a different way. They responded in lament. And so our devotional is going to consider the discipline of lament. And when you hear that, you probably don't think, well, I didn't even think lament was a Christian discipline. It's something we do need to consider because as we look through the Scriptures, we see it in Scripture. A lament is something that the Christian does to cry out to God. In fact, as you read many of the Psalms, a third of the Psalms is dealing with Christian lament. They cry out to God. The psalmist cries out. In fact, the whole book of Lamentations is given to us for this purpose, to see if this has a role for us. So God has put it in the Scriptures so we can know how we are to respond when we see these things. Definition of what lament means. It means expressing a deep sorrow for the travails or hardships at happenings and asking God for intervention. As children of God, He wants us to be able to cry out to Him. And so lament is, we could say, is a form of prayer. In a lament, we see we turn to God. We bring Him our complaint. We ask Him for help. And then in the process, we choose to trust Him in the midst of it. One person said, lament is the prayer language for God's people as they live in a world marred by sin. It is how we talk to God about our sorrows as we renew our hope in His sovereign care. To cry is human, but to lament is Christian. He goes on and says, the practice of lament is one of the most theologically informed actions a person can take. While crying is fundamentally to humanity, Christian lament because we know God is sovereign and good. Christians know His promises in Scripture. We believe in God's power to deliver. And so in Christian lament, it's different from just crying out because we trust God is sovereign in the midst of it. We trust that all things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. Though we may not understand how that's happening, we can wrestle with that and cry out to God and make our requests known. I once heard a sermon when I was in California at my old church, and we had a guest preacher, and he preached on the importance of lament in the Christian life. And he gave a few helpful points that I want to share with you also, and I hope it is helpful for you. In Psalm 13, we see an example of a lament. David is crying out, and he says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? And as you read that psalm, you see in the very beginning, it was meant to be sung. It was something that was sung in worship. So imagine that. Imagine singing this complaint to God. So often we think, well, you shouldn't talk like that. You shouldn't complain. You should just suck it up. You shouldn't express things like that. But then we see in the Psalms, the psalmists who's a godly person, struggling in this world with the unexplained sufferings and evils in this world, and he gives his complaints to God. Lament helps us to reflect our feelings to God. And what we see is, we see in lament that it is okay for us to talk to God like this. In fact, he welcomes it. He wants us to acknowledge our trials and our troubles and our pain. He wants us to acknowledge our suffering to him. We can be honest in our struggles to God. In Psalm 54, he says, "Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to my words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God." You know, when we see injustice, when we see horrible things, we ought to be able to cry out to God because we know he is sovereign over all. So God wants us to acknowledge the pain. He wants us to communicate those things to him, to let him know how we are feeling. But in the midst of acknowledging, we need to realize we're also looking to him in the midst of the suffering. In the midst of it, we can feel like maybe God is far away, that in reality, he is truly ruling and reigning even now. That he is near to us, though he might seem far from our perspective when all the suffering and trials are happening in this world. A lament is acknowledging the pain, but turning to him in faith, knowing that he truly hears. Lament turns towards God when sorrows might tempt you to run from him. It's not a complaint to God and turning to other solutions, to other worldly solutions. Ultimately, it's giving him your complaint, but then turning and trusting in him. So when you have a complaint, when you see injustice, when you see things happening, where do you first go? Do you first take it to God? Do you first cry out to him? Or do you first cry out on Facebook? Do you first express all your frustrations online for the world to see, thinking that solutions are found there? What then does that communicate to others? What then does that communicate how we are to trust? It's not wrong to share things like that, but we must first and foremost take it to God. Go to him, express our frustrations and sorrows, and then trust that he cares for us in the process. So we cry out, we acknowledge our pain to him. We then turn to him. We ask him also for help in the midst of the pain, knowing that there's really, truly nowhere else to go. There's no other solution, truly, because God is sovereign over all. He controls all. While we might have a voice and try to change something, things are going to continue to go on. But ultimately, God, who is in control, he can change things. He has the power over everything. And so we turn and give him our requests. Notice back in the Psalm 113, David goes on and he says, "Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall." So when we go to God, we acknowledge that he's the only one who can truly change things. When we lament, we go to him and give him our request, and we're trusting in his sovereignty. When we don't lament, when we don't do things like this, ultimately, we're thinking we can change it ourselves. We have the power in and of ourselves to do it. But lament, the Christian then takes his cares to God and gives them to him. We often try to find solutions in anything other than God. There is a sense when things happen that are bad that we try to find solutions in every other thing. But what lament does, what Christian lament does, is we cry out to him, we bring our request to him. Though we are finite, we turn to the one who is infinite. We turn to him and know that he cares for us. When we see suffering, when we feel helplessness, cry out to him, acknowledge him. He has the power to do something about it. This pastor goes on to say, because it is an act of faith and hope when we lament, it then engenders in us faith and hope. As we consider who God is and the truths about him, we bring our laments to him. And through that process, through the reminding of who he is, he then encourages us and strengthens our faith. Look at David and how it happened in Psalm 13 at the end. It says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Man, what a change. From the start of the psalm, how long, O Lord, to the end, I will sing the Lord's praise. This is the natural result of constant lament, of the habit and discipline of lament in the Christian life. This is the natural result of one who's reminded by what God has done for us. God is the only true solution. He is the only true source of joy, and we turn to him. While we might read this quickly, this isn't a quick formula. It's not a quick switch that we can just say, okay, I read it. Why am I not feeling different? Or I gave him my lament. Why am I not doing that? Why have I not changed like David did? As we continually practice the discipline of lament, we're reminded again and again of the promises of God. We're reminded what he will do. And then it's through the constant practice of lament that we then are reminded of these great things and are motivated more to praise in the process. When we don't do these things, when we don't do it consistently, when we don't give him our cares, when we don't go to him in this kind of prayer, we're not reminded of these things. We're not reminded of his promises, and we're caused to doubt and resort to other measures. So Christian, remember, he hears you when you cry out. As we cry out to him, we are reminded that he has indeed shown us unfailing love. He has given us salvation, and thus we, like David, should rejoice. In fact, we see the greatest amount of unfailing love in the fact that he gave us his only son, Jesus Christ. God loved the world so much, he sent us his son to die for us, to live a righteous life, to go to the cross and pay for our punishment for our sins. And it's because of that we can truly rejoice. We can say with Paul in Romans 8, when he's meditating just on the love of God, he said, what shall we say to these things in response? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus died. More than that, he was raised, is at the right hand of God, and is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, shall hardship, shall persecution or famine, nakedness, danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor things future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, beloved, cry out to him. Give him your cares. Be reminded that he hears, he understands, and he will remind you in the process of his goodness that is found in Christ alone. As one person said, since life is full of sorrows and since the Bible is clear about the plan of God, Christians should be competent lamenters. We should regularly talk to God about our sorrows and struggles. Christians should learn to lament. So if you want to learn to lament, the first place is to start reading laments. Read Psalm 10, read Psalm 13, read Psalm 22, read Psalm 27. And may we then begin to develop that practice. And in so doing, be reminded of God's goodness and rejoice in him. So that's our devotional for today. I hope it was a blessing. So with that, I welcome any questions, any thoughts. We are thankful for you guys. We're thankful for all your support and continuing to follow the elders' leadership. Continue to pray for them. Pray for the deacons. Pray for all the families. Pray that we remain united around the gospel. And I look forward to seeing you this Lord's Day. Grace to you.